This morning's reading is taken from Ephesians 4, verse 16, and you can find that on page 1175 of the Pew Bibles. Tom has asked that I read it through twice because it is such a long passage. More so because the message of it is very good. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. And I'll read that again. From him the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work.
Thanks, George. Very taxing job for you this morning. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that it is filled with truth. Thank you that even from such a small verse, we can gain so much. Just pray this morning that I'll be able to speak clearly and speak truthfully from your words, and that it will not fall on deaf ears, that our hearts will be changed as a result. We ask it for your name's sake and for your glory. Amen. Okay, I want you to take a look at these three pictures. Let me tell you, these three people are amongst you this morning. And I want you to see if you can identify who they are. They don't look like this anymore. You're looking side to side, thinking, who is it? Who is it? So why don't you have a chat for a moment or two, see if you can identify who's who. Anyone reckon they know any of them? Anyone thinking, that looks like somebody? And go on, who do you think you know? Is it George on the right-hand side? George, is that you on the right-hand side? It is George on the right-hand side. Yay! Well done. Anybody else spot anybody they think they recognise? The one on the left is dead ringer for Robin. Robin, is that you on the left? It's not Robin. Some of you will definitely be old enough to remember this person on the left, I think, when they looked like that. Is it Steve? Steve, is it you?
Yes.
Yes, it is. What a cue team. What a cue team. And then I think the one in the middle is the hardest. Is it my mum? Mum, is it you? It's my mum! Pretty cool. In the shades. That's where I get my style from. So you can see there are three pictures of people from our church family. And they don't look like this now, do they? They've all grown up a little bit. In fact, if they grew up but their bodies stayed the same, it would look a little bit weird, right? It seems a bit strange because a healthy body, a healthy person should be able to grow. That's kind of obvious, right? In fact, this morning, that's what we're going to be thinking about. We're going to be thinking about bodies, and I'm a primary school teacher, and I have to say that this week we were learning about the bodies in year three, and we were thinking about the names of the bones, and I realised that I'm actually quite... My knowledge of that is not great. In fact, I'll tell you a little secret. One of the things that I told my year threes this week was, the cranium keeps the brainium. That's the level of education that my year threes are getting this week. But I just thought I'd tell you this, because if our bodies stayed the same... Sorry, if our bodies grew, but our heads kind of stayed the same, it would all look weird, wouldn't it? It'd all be a bit strange. And even as somebody who knows as little about science as I do, when we get older, our bodies grow. And if the body didn't grow, it would be a sign that something was really wrong. We're actually built to grow, to get bigger, to get stronger. That's what our bodies are meant to do. And just like a child's body is meant to grow into an adult's body, so too is the church meant to grow. We just have that one verse this morning, but it is jam-packed with truth, and it's a great vision for what church can be like. So I thought we'd read it again together one more time. So if you want to read it with me now. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. So I thought I'd set the scene to start off with for what we've just read. This verse is from the book of Ephesians, which is a letter written by Paul, who was an apostle of Jesus. And Paul was writing to a baby church in Ephesus. And he's a bit like a proud parent. He can't wait to see this new young church, this small church, grow. Not just in number, but actually in the maturity of the people who are there. Paul wants to see a team united by Jesus. He wants to see a team saved by him. In fact, he says this, he wants a church that comes together and matures together, becoming humble and patient, bearing with one another, united through a bond of peace, and maturing to the fullness of Christ. And that sounds pretty cool, doesn't it? It actually sounds like something that you could sign up for. It's what our world needs right now. People who are humble, who don't show off all the time about their amazing lives on Instagram or TikTok, or patience as well. People who don't just get angry at the drop of a hat. They have a little bit of patience, gentleness. People who are not harsh in the way that they speak. People who take care in how they talk to others. The vision for church that Paul's expressing in the Ephesians is a vision of a world we'd love to live in, actually. Bearing with people instead of looking for arguments. It's a world full of peace. A world where we're united. We're not divided. And that's what the body of the church should be. It should be an example to the world. Later, Paul says this. Those separated from the life of God are darkened in understanding. The church should be a light in our world, a guiding example to those in darkness. Well, as we look at this morning's passage, we're going to think of it in two parts. And the first part is this. The church is Jesus' body. See, when we read this verse in isolation from the rest of the chapter or the letter, we kind of are left with one obvious question. Whose body are we talking about? Because the church is a building, right? It's not a body. If you look around, this is a church. Well, if you've been coming to St. Peter's for a while, I'd hope that you'd know that that's not the case. That the body is a group of people. The church is a group of people who follow God. The answer's kind of simple when we say whose body we're talking about. The body Paul is talking about is this church body. It's Jesus' body. Because the body is made up of everyone who follows Jesus. So if you're following Jesus here this morning, you're part of the body we're talking about. Just before our verse, in verse 15, it says, "We will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ." So why is Jesus the head of this body? Well, again, it's quite a simple answer, because Jesus made the body. He joined us together. He chose to die on the cross to forgive our sins and to bring us together under him as king. Jesus is the head of the body because he now sits on the throne at the right hand of the Father. And that's quite humbling news. It means that this body isn't ours, it's his. It doesn't belong to us, it belongs to Jesus. So it's his words we're going to listen to, it's his words we're going to follow, and everything that we should be done his way, not ours. I think it's also reassuring for us because we know that we're in good hands. Jesus is the one looking after the body, and as the verse says, it's through him the whole body is joined together. Our verse this morning, joined and held together by every supporting ligament. Now again, I'm going to show up my lack of science knowledge here. Ligament's a bit of a funny word, and it's not a particularly easy thing to understand either, so I'm hoping if you have a PhD this morning, please go easy on me, because I think I'm right in saying this, that ligaments are like stretchy rope that holds one bone to another. That sound about right? If you've got a sprained ankle, it's nothing to do with bones. It's the tear or the stretch of the parts that hold the bones together. And without muscles and ligaments and those sort of things, bodies would go all floppy. They wouldn't hold together. In fact, our bodies would be pretty useless. Those ligaments are important for holding the bits together. And Paul wants us to know that the body of the church is just like that. There are all sorts of ligaments joined together. And we all need to keep holding together, otherwise the body of the church will just flop and fall. Paul was saying to that church in Ephesus, and I think he would probably say the same to us this morning, if you're a follower of Jesus, you're a part of this church, a vital part. You're essential to the church body working. You're needed this morning, this week, this month, this year. And we're held together with and by Jesus. Jesus is the one that we're all connected to. And he joined us together by saving us from our sin. And he keeps us holding together as we walk with him. That connection with Jesus and his sacrifice is ultimately the thing that unites us. Maybe people look at the church and they get a little bit confused. Maybe they think that we all just hate lions on a Sunday and we turn up because we can't bear to stay in bed anymore. Or maybe it's that we just love old buildings. Or we come together because we like the same TV or the same music. Or I love the same sports as you. Or we follow the same political party. But none of those things are true. When you look at this church and the churches down the road or up and down the country, all over the world, you don't see clones of each other. You don't see the same people in every church. Just like your elbow looks completely different to your knee, and your eye looks completely different to your ear, there are lots of differences in the people in church too. There's a church body made up of different people. If you look around now, we're all different. In the church body, there's a range of races, ages, interests, jobs, skills, gifts. But we do have one thing in common. We join together in that act of worshipping Jesus, being a part of his body, under him as the head of the church. And that's a beautiful thing. Because in this world, I think lots of people want to be known. And they want to be loved, and they want to be connected. And if we want to be together instead of isolated, like we so often can feel in this world, we need that joy that comes from connection, the joy we get from connection in church. It's actually what we're created for, to be together. We're a relational being, members of the same body, known and loved, and enjoying being children of God. Now, I should quickly say at this point, that doesn't mean that it's all going to be really, really easy all the time. In another section of the letter to the Ephesians, Paul highlights areas where there might be tensions or issues within church. And ultimately, when we're together so much, there are going to be times when we annoy each other. There are going to be times when we get on one another's nerves. That's kind of the nature of relationships in a fallen world. But the church is to show the world a different way of working. Working together as one body that remembers Jesus paid the ultimate price for each of us. And that leads to our second point this morning. The body relies on every part working together. Now, during the summer, I had a problem with one of my teeth. At least we'll be tired of hearing this story by now. On the way to a holiday with friends, I ate some sweets in the car, and part of my tooth fell out in the car, and it really, really hurt. If you've ever had toothache, I feel sorry for you this morning. So I rang the dentist on the way to our holiday and said I needed an appointment as soon as we were back. And when we went back, they tried to sort the problem out, but the next day, the other side of my mouth started hurting. And another tooth was now playing havoc, and my mum and dad will vouch that I went to their house in agony because I wanted lots of sympathy. I guess what I'm saying is, even if the smallest part of your body doesn't work, like a tooth, it can cause lots of damage. It can make things difficult for the rest of your body. In the church, our role is to help the body grow, and ultimately, just like those baby pictures that you saw at the start, growing is what we are meant for. The body will suffer if it doesn't grow properly. So how does the body grow and build itself up in love? Well, it relies on us working together, each person playing their part. I wonder this morning what you think your role is in church, what ligament you think you are. Maybe you're on a specific rota for tea or coffee, or perhaps you cover the creche, perhaps you run a group of, or help with children's work, maybe you go to a youth group, maybe your job is to welcome people on a Sunday, or perhaps you see your job as sort of texting in and checking with people during the week and seeing how they are. What is your role in church? Well, those things are really important. The physical event of church wouldn't happen without a lot of those things taking place. But realistically, those things are activities, aren't they? They're things that we do. And we're involved in lots of activities, but Paul doesn't say in his letter that the body will grow when the rota's filled or when people have tea or coffee. I think we cheat ourselves a little bit out of the glory of the church if we ignore what Paul tells us. To grow and build this church up in love. Listen to the verses that came just before what George read for us. Then we will no longer be infants, tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching and by the cunning and craftiness of people in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect the mature body of him who is the head, that is Christ. The church grows when we speak the truth to one another in love. When we speak the truth in love, we will grow to become in every respect that mature body of him. Your job, my job, our job is to speak the truth in love to the rest of this church body. Whatever activities that you complete, whatever rotas that you fill, the most important thing you can do is continue to grow. Well, the most important thing you can do to grow the church here in Stapleton is speak the truth in love to this body. Then the body will grow. We're not talking just about numbers, we're not talking about people who turn up on a Sunday, although that might come as a result of it. Growing to be more like Jesus. And you might be sat here thinking, that sounds lovely, Tom. It sounds like a great idea for a tattoo or a tweet. Speak the truth in love. But what does it actually mean in real life? What does it look like? Well, I think speaking the truth in love sounds easy and kind of lovely, but actually it's quite tricky. It can hurt. Hearing the truth isn't always easy. And I think there's two problems, really. See, we've all had times when someone has told us the truth, but they haven't done it in love. And it's a bit like someone running you over in an absolutely beautiful Ferrari. Because sure, the truth that's there is beautiful and glorious, but the way it's been delivered is not great. It actually really hurts, and it certainly doesn't feel as though it's going to help you to grow. But similarly, if we speak lovingly to people without truth, we're not going to grow either. So if a friend has placed a commitment over church, and instead of lovingly challenging them and asking them how, and instead just saying, oh, how's that sports club going? Or how was your shopping trip? What did you buy? That's not really speaking the truth in love. If someone's talking about another member of the church in a derogatory way, and instead of gently reminding them to remember what unites us, instead if we join in with the gossip, that's not going to grow a united body of people. I want to finish this morning with a personal story from when I was growing up here at St. Peter's. When I was a teenager, we'd meet with Ben and Lizzie Bradshaw, who many of you will know, for youth group, often in their home. And week by week, I would see in Ben and Lizzie a couple who not only loved one another and the church, but also loved me and all the people in that group. And they were humble and honest about their own mistakes. They would hold their hands up to the things they were getting wrong. But they were that interested in growing us. They loved us enough that if we were out of line, or if we needed correction, if we were totally messing something up, they'd guide us, not lie to us or belittle the gospel in any way. They wouldn't ignore a problem. They loved us enough to gently address those issues honestly and in an upfront way. That's how much they cared about me. They cared enough to tell me the truth, even when it was difficult. And they always did it in love, and I'll always be grateful to them for it. And our role is to do the same, isn't it? To speak the truth in love. A body relies on every one of us doing it. Can't just be one part that works. We've got to love one another fiercely and always be guided by the glorious truth that Jesus Christ has revealed to us in God's word. And as we do that, this body will grow. It will grow to be more and more like Jesus in his goodness, in his truth, and in his love. And it will be him holding us together as the head of this beautiful body of messy people. And we'll grow together with him as the cornerstone and truth, and love being our spiritual food. Let's pray. From him, the whole body, joined and held together by every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. Heavenly Father, help us to be a people who speak the truth in love. Help this church to grow as a result. And help us this morning to never forget that we sit as part of your body, your church, with you as the head. We thank you for your sacrifice. We thank you for your love for us. And we just pray that we will be a shining light in this world to those in darkness. We ask it for your name's sake. Amen.